I just am excited every time I'm in a missions conference to think the potential of what's going to happen. And to be honest with you, it's exciting for the missionary, but it's more exciting for you individually. Because there are things that you need to do to connect with God so that you can receive the fullest blessing that He has to give. I don't know about you, listen to me. You know, I look at people. It's kind of funny because I look at people and it seems like there's very little enjoyment of the Christian life in most people. Now, I don't know if that's just because you've been smiling all day and you got tired. No, really, you've been smiling all day, been as happy as can be, came to church, you're worn out smiling. You're tired of smiling, so you just come to church with a gravitational look. You know, that's where it's pulling down on you. But you know something? If you're receiving the fullest blessings of God, it makes all the difference.
Amen.
It really does. The Christian life will not come alive to you until you plug in to the things that God gives you the greatest blessings. Does that make sense to you? You know, how many of you remember when you weren't saved and then you got saved? If you truly got saved, man, what a difference it made in your life.
Amen.
Some of you even smiled when you got saved. But I mean, it made such a difference in your life. It was transformational, wasn't it? And see, there are other things in the Christian life that you do that give you that same kind of, if you will, experience. You know, I'm not into emotions per se, but we're emotional people. If I'm going to get emotional about something, I'd like to get emotional about the Lord.
Amen.
Get excited about the Lord.
That's right.
Now, I want to talk to you tonight. What I'm going to do is I get six times to preach to you, all right? That's a lot. I only have three messages, so I have to change the title of three messages. So, but I want to do something tonight, and I'm going to do something this week. I only want to give you one point, so you don't have to worry about being here long. I hope not, but I don't think you'll be here long. But I want to give you one thought each night. And tonight, I mean, these things are all basic, and I know they are. But sometimes, you know, just a preacher coming and giving you a different point of view of the same thing sometimes hits home. And, you know, I was thinking about all the songs that were sung tonight, how they all came together. And, you know, I thought about the song, you know, what was the first song title? What was the name of that first song? What?
Rescue the Perishing.
No, not that song. The first song special tonight. When you started the service.
Here Am I.
Here Am I. I knew it. I just wanted to check and see if you knew. Were you listening? Okay, Here Am I, Lord, send me. All right, that's a great song. And then the college kids sang Bow the Knee. Okay? You know what bow the knee means? Do you know what that means literally? When I bow the knee to the Lord, what am I doing? I'm humbling myself.
Right.
I'm yielding myself to the Lord. I'm giving myself to the Lord. That's what you're doing when you bow the knee. That's what the idea is. You bow the knee. God has you. And see, that's what I want to talk about. I want to show you something. I want the missionaries to help me. This isn't going to take long, familiar scripture, but look at it with me. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And I want to give you this. Just an easy, simple thought. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God, bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God, insomuch that we desired Titus that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Now, there's a lot of things in this passage of Scripture, but for sake of time, I want to look at one little phrase in verse number 4. Look where it says there, and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. All right? If you look in your Bible, if you have a computer program Bible, and you look at the meaning in the Greek, and you look at that word, fellowship, the number one first definition of that word is partnership. That's what the word means, fellowship. It means partnership. So if you look at it like that, take upon us the partnership of the ministering to the saints. Now, the other thing I want to show you is this. The Bible says in verse 5, and this they did, talking about the churches of Macedonia. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. All right, I want to show you something tonight. Simple. I want the missionaries to come up here. If you guys would come up here for just a minute, just help me. All the missionary guys, come up here. Brother Williams, brother, by the way, you know, Brother Owens, I've known Brother Owens for 29 years. Brother Owens, when he came to our church, I think our church was 3 years old in Carterville. Brother Owens didn't have a wife, and he was by himself. And I got to tell you something, and I don't mean this, but this is funny. I looked at Brother Owens, and I thought, he's not going to make it. You know, I'll be honest with you. Some of the best missionaries I've known are not the missionaries I would have chosen to be the best missionaries. That's the truth. Sometimes we look at people and we judge them by the outside. This is a man of God right here. God has used him in an incredible way. What, 29 years down in Argentina? Man, serving God 29 years. All kinds of things. I don't even know all that he's done. But I'll tell you one thing. Man, it blessed my heart just to look at him and just to see him. He looks a lot older. A lot older. Matter of fact, I looked at my picture in that thing. That was taken 30 years ago, but I like the picture anyway. But you know what? I look at this guy and I think about his ministry in all these years faithful. Some of them I don't know. Brother Williams, I never met Brother Williams before. Brother Jordan, hey, by the way, are we supporting you right now?
Yes, sir.
Good, okay. All right. And Brother Leonard, right? Brother Leonard, going to Fiji. All right? Fiji, man. All the years, I probably had 700-800 missionaries through our two churches that I've been at. And I've never had anybody going to Fiji. Yeah. Nobody. So he's the first one that I've met going to Fiji. Yeah. So I want him to come to our church. And then I want to come and visit you in Fiji.
Yes, sir.
Sounds good, Fiji. Yeah. Just say Fiji. It sounds good. Fiji. Everybody say it. Fiji. Great place. Okay. Now, I want to show you something tonight. Simple. Very simple. It's Bible. These guys here tonight, at some point in their life, God called them to go to the mission field. Now, I'm not going to ask them, because they all have their time to present their work and all. But when God called them to go to the mission field, I don't know if they first resisted. I don't know if immediately they said, yes, I'll go. I don't know if it was a process of time before they decided to surrender to go to the mission field. But I want to tell you something tonight. It's no little thing to say, I'll go. We can sing it all we want to. We can sing about it all we want to. But when you get to the point in your life where you say, I'll go. Now, you saw pictures of Dominican Republic. All these men can show you pictures, ministry. It's a different way of life in a third world country. And it's fun to look at those pictures and to say, wow, you know that would be something to visit there. But even if you go visit there, it's not like living there.
Right.
But here's the thing I want to tell you tonight. These four guys, and many like them, at one point in their life, they said, I'll go. They said, I'll go. It was a total commitment.
Right.
And the fact of the matter is that if it wasn't a total commitment, Brother Owens wouldn't have stayed there for 29 years. He would not have stayed there. These other guys on the field, you know, you take like Josh Wesson, and I mean, Josh was a good friend of mine, and I think about Josh and the tragedy of his dying, but the Lord had a plan. I know Josh never dreamed that he would die a young man, but here's what he did. He gave himself. He gave himself. See, the Bible says the first thing before you look at anything else and do anything else, you give yourself.
Right.
And do you know, ladies and gentlemen, that's an interesting concept because that is really the basis of the Christian life. I can give you all kinds of verses tonight where even Jesus looked at people and his disciples and said, hey, if you don't deny yourself and take up your cross, you can't be my disciple. See, if you're not willing to die, if you're not willing first to give yourself, then all the rest of it is not going to work because that's the basis of everything in the Christian life. The basis is that we have no reserve, that we will go. Now, you may think it's funny, and you may think, oh, Brother Dawson, that's not really what God wants. but it is. Here's what God wants. God wants everybody in this room to say first, I'll go. I'll go. That's really what he wants. He wants everybody to give himself to the Lord. And then when you give yourself to the Lord, it's not your business what he wants to do with you. It's God's business what he wants to do with you. You know, I've told you the story, and I'm not going to make it long, but I, as a pastor, I was pastoring a church, I was given the missions, and then the Lord, I thought he called me to Africa, and I've told you that story. And man, when the preacher was preaching, he was looking right at me, and I knew, man, God was calling me to Africa, and that's the one place I didn't want to go. Of all the world, I didn't want to go to Africa. I don't want to go back to Africa, even to visit. I don't want to go. I nearly died 3 times over there. I could have died 3 times in 1 month. I figure if I could die 3 times in 1 month, that's not a place to live. Amen? But you know what I had to do? I had to walk down an aisle at a missions conference and get on my knees and say, I'll go. I had to do that. If I hadn't done that, I really believe that my ministry, as far as any fruitfulness, would have stopped right there. Because there was a hindrance, there was a roadblock. I said no to God. See, ladies and gentlemen, you don't really understand this tonight. You can't say no to God. Right. Oh, you can do it. But in doing so, you stop the blessings of God on your life. Right. You unplug the Christian life as far as any of its joy and its fulfillment. Right. And that's why sometimes when I'm preaching, I think, I've had better services in the funeral home. Rigor mortis is setting in. But I know why. I used to didn't understand it, but I understand it now. There are so many people in our pews, in our churches, that have said no to God somewhere down the line. And when they said no to God, God unplugged them. And basically, they're saved. They're going to heaven. There's no joy. There's no fulfillment. There's no excitement. Because they lost that when they wouldn't say yes. Now, you guys said yes. Sometime in your life, you said yes. Okay, you guys, you stand over there. All four of you stand over there. Now, I want to show you this tonight. This is simple, but this is how it is. Here are these men, and you already support Brother Jordan. The other three are out to raise their support and to get the finances that they need to do the work of God. And then God's called us on this side. He's called us to help them. But the Bible says we're in the fellowship of ministering to the saints. Partnership. So here they are. They've given themselves to the Lord, and we know that. And here we are over here. And I can have some of you come up here, but I'm not going to do that. But here we are over here. And here's the question. Have we given ourselves? You see, if it's a partnership, don't you think that there has to be equal responsibility? Come on, if it's really a partnership, don't you think there has to be equal responsibility? Because if there isn't equal responsibility, we are not going to see the results that God wants us to have. Did you know right now there are 7,050 unreached people groups in the world? 7,050 unreached people groups that have never heard the gospel. It shouldn't be.
Right.
One of the reasons that's true is because a lot of people on this side haven't said yes. A lot of people that God has called, maybe even some in this room right now, maybe even some young people in this room right now, to be honest with you, you don't mind serving the Lord, but you don't want to say yes to the point that you would give yourself so he could take you and do whatever he wants to, because you're afraid of that. You're afraid to say yes, God. You're afraid to say, you can have me. Lots of people have said no, but thank God some have said yes. And they come to our church and they present their work. And then we're over here on this side. We're the ones holding the ropes. We're the ones that are supporting them and helping them. Now, we have to understand that in doing so, we have just really as much of a reward as far as the Great Commission is concerned as they do. We got the easy part. Really, we have the easy part. They've got the hard part. But we're still partners. I'm over here, I'm a partner, man. I'm living the good life, you guys are suffering over there. But I'm a partner. So what do? I say, okay, Lord, I give myself too. They gave themselves. I give myself. I gave myself one day at an altar. I said, I'll go. It wasn't long. God said, I don't want you to go. You got to be willing to go. Because I got to have you. I got to have all of you. If I'm going to use you, I got to have all of you. I said, okay, you can have all of me. Did you know what happened? I didn't go to Mission Field, but I got a heart for missions I never had before. I got a burden for missions. When I went to Arkansas, we had 12 missionaries. We were $850,000 debt. We couldn't even pay the mortgage bill. Today, we have 111 missionaries. Our offering last Sunday was over $6,000. God has blessed us like crazy. We have money in the bank. We're doing anything and everything God wants us to do. Why? Because we took on those missionaries. I know that. But we would have never took on those missionaries if God hadn't spoken to my heart. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? See, even that passage of scripture I just read, Paul was talking about with the churches of Macedonia. And he said, I hope Titus can do the same thing with you. I like that. Because Titus was working with the church of Corinth. And Paul was saying, hey, I'm doing a good job with the Macedonians. What about you, Titus? Titus said, I'm having a tough time with these people. These Corinthian people are tough. Why? Well, because they say they really mean it, but they don't really show it. Now, ladies and gentlemen, look. If you and I would really mean this tonight, as we start this conference, if we would really mean this tonight, okay, Lord, first, I give myself in whatever capacity you want. They're my partners, and they've given themselves, so I am their partner, and I give myself. So that means you can have what you want. You can have whatever you want. Here's my wallet, because really, to be honest with you, those guys want our prayers. They liked our correspondence. But they need our money. That's the truth. If I was a missionary, I would come and say, I like your prayers. I like your friendship. I need your money. But I'm going to spend it wisely. I'm going to spend it trying to win people to Christ that never heard of the gospel. Amen. I'm not ashamed to say that. Yeah. I'm happy to say that. I take that thing right there that represents what I have, and I put it on the altar, and I say, God, you can have it. It's yours. And then whatever you want out of it for me to give away, I know that you will help them do their work because I'm their partner. But then I also know you said you would take care of me. That's a good deal. It's a good deal that I can take this and give it to them while they're doing the work and they're out there on the front line and I'm back here holding the rope and I can give them this. But not only do I give them this so that they can reach people and see people saved, then God said, I will make sure that you are taken care of. Man, that's a good deal.
Yep.
Are you with me tonight? Come on. Are you with me tonight?
Amen.
I'm telling you, folks, everything that God wants to do is doable.
That's right.
If we would just get with the program, and the first step of the program, you give yourself. You give yourself to the Lord. So in essence, you do come down here to the altar and say, I'll go. I'll go if you want me to go. Some of you, you're as old as me. You say, I couldn't go. If he wanted you to go, you could go. But you know what? 99% of you, or not that much, but 75% of you, 69.3.7% of you, you're not going anywhere. A few of you young people, God may be calling you, but he's calling all of us to give ourselves so that we have we have the same commitment level that they have. See, here's what I want to do. I'll get right in the middle of these guys that are committed, and I'll say, I'm committed too.
Yeah.
I'm in with them.
Yeah.
Okay? I'm not going to go. But I'm going to give. They're my partners. I don't want to leave them hanging. Do you? Do you want to leave them hanging? Hey, can I ask you a question? If I said tonight, if you'll give $20 a week to Faith Promise, God will give you the $20 back, how many of you would say, well, I'll do that? Sure you would. You see, you promise that? I don't. But God says he promises to meet every need you have. All sufficiency in all things. Is that a good deal? See, God said, okay, you partner with them, and you do the part you're supposed to do, and then I'll take care of you. But before you even think about it, you're never going to do what you need to do until you first give yourself. Does that make sense? Come on, folks, does that make sense to you? I give my... Hey, do we owe him? Do we owe him?
Amen.
Do we? And number two, really, do we owe those people that have never heard the gospel? When we've heard it over and over and over and over again, do we owe those people? Okay. So we owe those people. We've been given a great, great responsibility because we're saved. And we've got people that'll go. So what do? We give ourselves so that whatever God wants from us, we give. Now, you know, as soon as you talk about giving, people just kind of give you the dirtiest look, like some of you are giving me. But I'm telling you right now, you don't give anything when you give the Lord because he promises to meet every need you have. Now, I want to read this and then we're done. This is it. I want to read this to you. The Lord gave this to me while I'm driving, and it's nothing profound, but I like it. If you don't give yourself to the Lord, he will never get out of you what he wants. And if he doesn't get out of you what he wants, you will never get out of him what you need. You hear me? If you don't give yourself to the Lord, he will never get out of you what he wants. And he's got a will for all of us. And then you will never get out of him what you need. And the result of that is a boring life. Oh, I feel sorry for some of you who are younger. You're going to sit in church your whole life. You know you need to be there. You're committed to it. But you are so unhappy. And you can never have that joy and fulfillment unless he gets out of you what he wants from you. You know what? The great God got out of these guys what he wanted. And he's still getting it. And you know what? Are you guys sorry to be serving the Lord? Do you wish you could take back the commitment? Brother Hanks, you sorry? Are you sorry that you decided to be in the ministry? Are you sorry you decided to have 30 kids? Hey, anybody here sorry? Are you sorry you're saved? Are you sorry you're going to heaven? Oh, man, listen to me. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, I wish there was some way I could knock you in the head and just get some good sense into you. You cannot outgive God. You cannot go wrong being obedient. You will never want for anything. And by the way, we're living in a day where you and I really don't realize how close this country is to collapse. We're living in a day where if we ever needed God's help, it is right now. But you know what? I don't worry about it. You say, Brother Dawson, how much you got in the stock market? Nothing. Brother Dawson, how much you got in savings? I think $38. Last time I checked, it might have interest. Maybe $38.20. Now, I'm serious about this, and I don't mind telling you this. I don't tell my people, but I'll tell you. I decided a long time ago that all my extra money goes there. I decided that a long time ago. So I could have taken that money, or a good chunk of it, and started putting away for retirement, because I have none. But you know something? I can look in your eye right now and tell you I don't have 1 ounce, not 1 ounce, of concern about the future, because I've placed my money where it's safe.
Amen.
The investment is so incredible, it's hard to believe what I'm going to get out of that investment. And then, not only are my needs met here, because I did what God told me to do with that money, but then I stand before the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ, and I have fruit on my account.
That's right.
See, this is what's great. I'm not going to ask you guys, but man, when their ministries are over, there's going to be hundreds and thousands of people saved, and if I help them, I get some of that on my account. They did the work, and I'm right here with them. Man, we sure saw a lot of people saved over there, didn't we? It was rough at times, but we made it. It doesn't seem fair, but you know one thing I love about God? God is never fair. He's better than fair.
Right.
He's better than fair. So if the economy collapses, and if our money has no value, And if everything falls apart, I have God's promise that He's going to take care of me.
Right.
Is that a good deal?
Amen.
So, ladies and gentlemen, I just want to challenge you tonight. There is so much involved here. It's not just about reaching the goal for faith promise for 2016-17, or however you look at it, 2017. It's bigger than that. It's about you. It's about what God's going to do for you. And it's about what you're going to do for God. So as far as I'm concerned, right now, even though I'm in Heber Springs, Arkansas, I'm in 111 other places too, where all my missionaries are. And I get those letters, well, we had 30 saved this week, and we had 50 saved, and there are 75 saved. We started 5 churches. We started this. We did that. And I'm thinking, man, look what I've done. Look at that. Man, I'm going to have a lot of rewards in heaven. That's exactly how I feel about it. You say, well, you don't deserve that. I don't care. I'll take it. Since when do we deserve good things from God? We get them. We get them. So it doesn't, listen, it doesn't bother me one bit to say to the Lord tonight, it's yours, you can have it. And I'm yours, you can have me. And at 62 years of age, if you wanted to take me to the mission field anywhere but Africa, I'll go. Anywhere. Preferably Hawaii. Hawaii's got a good climate. But wherever you want me. Because I'm going to partner. I'm going to partner with my missionaries. They're doing their part. They've given themselves first. They've given themselves and they've gone. And God is asking me to do the same thing over here. I'm going to give myself. And if I give myself, they're going to be taken care of. Those guys are going to all be taken care of because God's plan always works.
Amen.
Thank you, guys. Would you bow your heads with me? Every head bowed, every eye closed.